redeemed.
Amen.
Turn to John chapter 17. Father Chris was preaching on this part of John comes after the Last Supper, but before the beginning of the Passion, and we're talking about, you know, love passage. And it hit me that the example that you used, it was, we didn't have the love boat, we had the love plane. So, the love continues today. This is Jesus's high priestly prayer. In John chapter 17, verse 10, Jesus prayed, "All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them." All mine are yours, this is Jesus talking to the Father. All mine are yours, yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Well, this is Ascension Sunday. Last Thursday was the Feast of the Ascension, and this is traditionally called Ascension Sunday. It's the Sunday we celebrate that Jesus ascends once again after his resurrection and is reunited with the Father in the glory of the heavenly kingdom with the Father. And he's seated at God's right hand. And as I said, this is our Lord's high priestly prayer, but it has absolutely nothing to do with the ascension. It actually is not a narrative. It's not about what happened. But it is a part of the gospel that comes before the passion. It leads into, as a matter of fact, it's the last thing that Jesus says as he's leading into the passion, where he's in the garden and he's struggling and ultimately goes to the cross. But in John's gospel, the crucifixion is the pinnacle of Jesus being glorified. He is glorified on the cross. Let me explain. Glory, doxa, it's where you get the word doxology. Okay, glory is the means that the Father uses to make himself known in the world. Glory is how God makes himself known in the world. The glory of God is the way that the revelation takes place according to John's gospel, all right? So Jesus is praying for himself, he is praying for his disciples, and he is praying for all of those who will come to him through the disciples' words. That's you and me. So he's praying for us. And in John chapter 17, if you look at verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, "I have glorified you, Father, on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." That's as close to a reference to the ascension as you're going to get in this whole thing, okay? But in John chapter 1, verse 18, John says, "No one has ever seen God. The only begotten Son who is close to the Father's side, he has made him known." So no one has ever seen God. But the way we know God is because God came in his incarnate form and made the Father known. Now, in John's gospel, we have seven signs of the presence and the person of God, okay? Now, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I asked you if you could name the seven I ams, okay? There's seven I ams and there's seven signs in the Gospel of John. Seven is the number of completeness, okay? So he completely manifests himself in these seven signs. I won't ask you if you know all seven signs. All right, I'll give you a break on that one. All right, you should know the I Ams. You definitely should know the I Ams. You probably ought to know the signs, but that's okay. But let me give them to you real quickly. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, we have the wedding at Cana in Galilee where Jesus makes the water into wine. That's the first sign. Second sign, chapter 4, verses 46 through 54, he heals the official's son without ever going. The official comes to him and says, come home, come with me. And Jesus says, go ahead, your son's healed. Okay. And then in chapter 5, he heals the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda. Chapter 6, Father David's favorite passage, he feeds the 5,000. And chapter 6 also, verses 16 through 21, Jesus walks on the water. In chapter 9, he heals the man who was born blind. And in chapter 11, he raises Lazarus from the dead. Those are the seven signs in John's gospel. But let me give you just the first and the last as an example here. At the wedding in Cana of Galilee, John says that this is the first of his signs, Jesus's signs, that Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and, hear this, manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. He manifested his glory. And in John chapter 11, Jesus says, this illness is not unto death. That's referring to Lazarus's illness. This illness is not unto death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by means of it. So all of these seven signs, these are acts of power, all right? They manifest the power of God and the glory of God. They're revealing Christ's glory and making known the presence of God in the ministry of Jesus and in the world itself. So in the ascension, Jesus resumes his place at the right hand of God in glory. But in chapter 17, John chapter 17, verse 5, he prays that he may be clothed with the glory which I had with you before the world was. It's a statement of the eternal nature of the Trinity. Okay. And in sharing the glory of the Father, he shares the very nature of the Godhead. And what is the nature of the Godhead, according to John? Say again. I heard it over there.
Love.
That's right. There you go. The nature of the Godhead is love. And he shares that nature with the Father. And though Jesus did great signs in power to reveal God's glory, he completes the revelation of God's glory in his passion, in his suffering, in his death, and the crucifixion on the cross is the ultimate sign of God's glory because it's the ultimate sign of God's love for us. The crucifixion is the ultimate revelation of the divine love of God for all the world. It was the ultimate glorification of the Son of God, and he prepared his disciples for it. In chapter 12, verses 23 and 24, it says, the hour has come that the Son of Man will be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. So what Jesus is saying to his disciples is that the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. How is he going to be glorified? He's going to be glorified through his death. And in verse 31 of chapter 13, after the Last Supper, it says, so when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and glorified in him. He's going to be betrayed. Judas is leaving the supper to go and to betray him. And now is the Son of Man glorified. Wow. Think of this. This is just an incredible, as it were, almost a reversal of our understanding. But it's showing us that the love of God made manifest in Christ's sacrifice on our behalf brings glory to God, and we are the recipients. The crucifixion completes Jesus' work of glorifying the Father. That's why, while he's on the cross, what does he say? It is finished. It completes Jesus' work in glorifying the Father. He lays down his life so that the world may know God's love. That's why he came. What is the most famous verse in all the Holy Scripture? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He came to die so that we might live in him. That's the ultimate glorification of God. So the ascension is Jesus' return to eternal glory at God's right hand. And he has gone not only to bring glory to God through the act and the work of his earthly ministry, he is going to prepare a place for you and for me. He has gone, he has ascended, he has returned to the right hand of God, and he is preparing a place for you and me. In chapter 17, verse 24 of John's Gospel, it says, "The glory which you have given me, I have given to them." That's us. "That they may be one, even as we are one." He and the Father are one. And think about that oneness in the Godhead. And that he, because he has gone to heaven, he has made us equally one in that same way. "The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Father, and verse 26, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am." And where is he? At the right hand of God. "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to behold my glory, which you have given me in your love for me before the foundation of the world." Bishop Holloway used to say, "Do you want to know how close you are to God? Well, if you are in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God, that's how close you are to God the Father." The ascension has brought us into him, in his glory, in his kingdom, that we may be one with the Father. Praise the Lord. So what do we need to do? Chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus prays, "This is eternal life." Take note, Jesus doesn't often tell us so categorically clearly these kinds of things. So this is a biggie, all right? Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Now, I know you've heard this before, but this makes it really clear. It's about relationship. It's about relationship. What is eternal life? Eternal life is that we may know the Father and the only true God, and that we may know Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, and we may be in Christ, and we may live in Christ. In John 17, verse 10, where we began, Jesus says, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Jesus is glorified in us when we are in right relationship with the Father and Jesus. When we are in Christ, and when we live in accordance with Christ, we bring glory to the Father. We glorify Him when we dwell in unity with one another and with Him. And so when we are in Christ, we are seated at the Father's right hand in glory. Praise the Lord. All right. Last week, somebody came to me after the service and asked if we might do something a little different. And that is, at the end of each sermon, if we'll just take a few moments of quiet contemplation to let what the Lord has spoken to us be absorbed. And so after each sermon, if you all would just, let's just have a moment of silence. It's not a time for asking questions. It's just a time for listening and letting the Lord speak to us through the words of the preacher, as well as the words of the scripture and the Holy Spirit, bringing all of it together for us. So we'll just have a few moments of silence.